want to share tonight some gems from this big old book here. This book has corrected me. It has blessed me. It seemed like if I'm going through something, I'll open this big old book up. It's Sparkling Gems from the Greek. And this man, Rick Renner, has studied Greek. And so it's the word, you know, bringing out different Greek words. And so I saw something in there that just blessed my socks off. I don't know if I can convey it to you like it blessed me, but I'm going to try. This afternoon, I had the praise and worship music on, and I do want to share this with you, but I was just thinking about where God picked me up from and where he has brought me to. And there's a scripture in Psalms that every time I read it, it's like, this is me, Lord. You're talking about me. This is what you did for me. And in Psalms verse 40, verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. There was a time that I was in a horrible pit of sin and I couldn't get out. I was in a place that no one could help me but God. I needed a Savior and I didn't know him yet. And the devil was beating up on me and tried to steal, kill, and destroy my life. I didn't know that the word says the devil comes but to steal, kill, and destroy the thief. But I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I didn't know it right away. But I tell you what, when I met Jesus, he took me out of that miry pit of clay of sin and hopelessness. I was hopeless. I was hopeless and I was a mess. You can ask my son. My sons went through some horrible times with their mother. I had mental problem. I had all kinds of problem. I had female problem. And my kids had to suffer from a lot of things that happened to me and from my choices. And one time I can remember I was praying for my sons and I said, Lord, don't let my sons suffer from the mistakes I made. Protect my sons from the mistakes I made. Well, our Heavenly Father sent forth his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And where I was walking in that darkness with no hope and hopeless, Jesus reached down in that old miry pit of clay and he pulled me out. And I tell you what, I've never been the same. There was a time that I was nothing but negative and negative and oh my and oh me. And I tell you what, I'm somebody now. I came out of that horrible pit of clay and I'm on the rock, Jesus Christ. I get excited when I think about where he brought me from, because I was on the road of destruction and only Jesus could pick me up out of it, and he did. With men, things are impossible, but with our Lord, nothing is impossible. And I just wanted to share that to you. I get so choked up when I think about what he did for me. And I know as sure as my name is Mary, I would not be standing here except for the mercy and the grace of my God. There was a time that my mind, I couldn't think any thoughts. The devil was stealing my thoughts from me. I was on medicine that a psychiatrist told me, don't ever try to get off of this medicine. Don't you try to get off of it. And I want you to know, God delivered my mind. He delivered that song you sung. I get touched when I hear those songs because he healed me. He turned me around. He set me free where my thoughts could. And I know a lot of times I call people the wrong names and all kind of stuff. But I tell you what, I have the mind of Christ. Your word, it may come out wrong, but I've got the mind of Christ. And where I walked in defeat, I'm walking in victory. And where I walked with the devil pushing me down and putting on me, I'm on his feet. My Lord Jesus Christ paid that price on Calvary, and I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you, when you were dying on that cross, before you even died on that cross, you had Mary on your mind. You had Mary in your heart. And you knew I was going to walk around all defeated and woe is me. And Lord, you paid the price all that time. I was telling my brother one time, I wish, Wayne, that you and I would have met the Lord much sooner. That we didn't go through and make bad decisions and what we went through. That's my brother, and he's a minister now. But at one time, he was on drugs, and his life was just a pure mess. And we're pretty close, my brother and I, and he's a lot younger than me. But the Holy Spirit was drawing he and I at the same time. His life was a mess, and my life was a mess. And we started talking about the Lord, and we started praying together. And before long, I tell you what, we were going to church, and we were finding out who we are and who God is. And we were finding out we didn't have to stay down in the pits of hell, but we could rise up. We could rise up. Tears may come in the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And there's many a times I had some tears in the night, but I tell you what, he makes the storm a calm. He literally makes the storm a calm. And the word says, overcome evil with good. And I tell you what, there's a lot of evil that's tried to destroy this church. The devil hates this church because the word of truth comes forth in this church. Love is in this church. Grace is in this church. Mercy is in this church, and it makes the devil mad. He didn't want Mary to find out she had a voice. I didn't always know I had a voice. I didn't always know I had something to say. And so do you. Thank God. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for his love. Thank God for his mercy. Well, anyway, I want to share with you in this big old book. First, I want to talk about some angels. I want to talk about when Jesus, you know, Judas, we know, betrayed him. But Jesus had walked with Judas all that time of his ministry, broke bread with him, walked with him, talked with him, loved him, the one that betrayed him. In Matthew 26:53, when they had delivered Jesus up, he said, "Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and that he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Well, how much strength do you think an angel has? What is a legion? 6,000 men. In the armies of the Old Testament, it was 6,000 men. How many angels would there be in 12 legions? What would be combined strength of this number of angels? And I just want to share that. The Lord we serve, our Lord and Savior, that went willingly to that cross. It becomes obvious that there was no human force on earth strong enough to take Jesus against his will. The only way he was going to be taken was if he allowed himself to be taken. This is why he later told Pilate, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given from above." And that's in John 19:11. So we just said a legion is 6,000 men. This means that anytime we read about a legion of any kind, we can know it always refers to at least 6,000 of something. An amazing example is found in Mark 5:9, where the Bible tells us that the demon-possessed man of the Gadarenes had a legion of demons. Can you imagine that man had six or over 6,000 demons in him? No wonder he was crazy and beating himself up and wherever he was. That means this man had an infestation of at least 6,000 demons residing in him. Now, how many angels would there be in 12 legions of angels? Because Jesus said, "I could call more than 12 legions." because it would be pure speculation to try to figure out how many more than 12 legions would be, let's just stick with the figure of 12 legions to see how many angels that entails. One legion we know is 6,000 angels, so if you simply multiply that number by 12, you'll discover that 12 legions of angels would include a minimum of 72,000 angels. But Jesus said the Father would give him more than 12 legions of angels. Therefore, you can conclude that there were potentially many additional thousands of angels available to Jesus the night he was arrested. What would be the combined strength in this number of angels? Angels are powerful. In fact, in Isaiah 37, verse 36 records that a single angel obliterated 185,000 men, one angel in one night. So if a single angel had that kind of power, how much combined strength would there be in 12 legions of angels? It would be 1 billion and 110 million men. And that's just the combined power in one legion of angels. Now let's multiply this. I might have said that wrong. 185,000 by 12 legions, or at least 72,000 angels, which was the number of angels Jesus had available to him on the night of his arrest. 13 billion 320 million men is how many 12 legions of angels would be, which is more than twice the number of people living on the earth right now. You know, and there's a part where Jesus smote the servant's ear off, and Jesus just told him to put up the sword, and he just laid hands on the man and healed him before they took him. Jesus didn't need Peter's little sword that night. Had he chosen to do so, Jesus could have summoned 72,000 magnificent, mighty, dazzling, glorious, overwhelmingly, boy, that's a hard word to say, powerful angels to the combined strength in 12 legions of angels, could have wiped out this entire race. But Jesus knew he had to voluntarily lay his life down for the sin of the human race, for my sins. So we know Jesus didn't need Peter's undersized, insignificant sword to deal with his situation. What good would a single sword have been against the troops assembled in the garden that night anyway? Peter's actions were a perfect example of how the flesh tries in vain to solve its own problems but cannot. Jesus had all the power that was required to conquer those troops. As you face your own challenges in life, keep in mind that Jesus has the power to fix any problem you'll ever come across. Before you jump in and make things worse by taking matters into your own hands, which I've done before, remember the story of Peter. The next time you're tempted to grab a sword and start swinging, take a few minutes to remind yourself that Jesus can handle the problem without your intervention. Before you do anything else, pray and ask the Lord what you are supposed to do. Then after you receive your answer and follow his instructions, just watch his supernatural power swing into action to solve the dilemmas that you are facing. I know this church, we've faced a lot of dilemmas here. We've faced a lot of things. The enemy has come in like a flood against this church, but Jesus has lifted up a standard against him. And this church is growing. It is going to grow because it's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come into everlasting life. And as long as there's a lost soul out there, the church has a purpose. We're not here to just fellowship and have a good time. And we're here to minister to the lost. We're here to minister to the hurting. And this church is going to do that because Jesus holds the keys of hell and death in his hands. And he is above everything. There's nothing too hard that he can't handle. Nothing. I don't care what you're going through. I don't know if y'all got anything out of that, but it spoke to me. How powerful our Lord is. And when those soldiers came to get him, they said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am he." But in the Greek translation, it says, "I am." And when God sent Moses to Pharaoh to deliver the children of Israel, he said, "Well, who should I say that sent me?" And he said, "You tell him I am." And the voice of Jesus that said, "I am," I just want to read a little scenario to you. Now, the word doesn't say, "Thus saith that this happened," but it's really something to think about. The word says, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And we know that even before he died on that cross and rose again the third day for our sins, he called Lazarus from the dead. He is the resurrection and the life. In Mark chapter 14, verse 51, the scripture says, "And there followed him," this spoke to me. It may not speak to y'all, but let me tell you, "there followed him a certain man, young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked." So just about the time Jesus was finished healing the ear of the servant of the high priest named Malchus, the Gospel of Mark tells us a naked young man was found in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mark 14, you can read it, verse 51 and 52. "And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked." Well, who was this young man? Why was he following Jesus? Why was he naked? Why was he draped in a linen cloth instead of wearing normal clothes? And why was the Holy Spirit so careful to include this unique story in Mark's account of the gospel? What is the significance of this event? Now, this is this man's interpretation, okay? The Bible doesn't say, "Thus says the Lord," but this is his interpretation of the happening. And using his imagination also. You know, God gave us a good imagination, and it's good to use your good imagination. The key to identifying this young man lies in the linen cloth. He had lightly draped about his body. He was naked but had this linen cloth wrapped around him. The particular Greek word that is used for this linen cloth is used in only one other event in the New Testament to depict the linen cloth, in which the body of Jesus was wrapped for burial. And it says that in Matthew chapter 27, verse 59, Mark 15, verse 46, Luke 23, and verse 53. Thus, the only reference we have for this kind of cloth in the New Testament is that of a burial shroud used for covering a dead body in the grave. Now, some scholars have tried to say this naked young man was Mark himself. They assume that when Mark heard about Jesus' arrest, he quickly jumped out of bed and dashed to the Garden of Gethsemane. But the garden was remotely located, and no one could have run there so quickly. It is simply a physical impossibility. Others have speculated that Mark threw off his clothes in an attempt to shock and distract the soldiers so Jesus could escape. This idea is preposterous. Others have tried with similar vain attempts to assert that this naked young man was the Apostle John. But why would John be walking naked in the Garden of Gethsemane? As I said, The answer to this naked young man's identity lies in the cloth he had wrapped around his body. Well, you see, when a body was prepared for burial, it was washed, ceremonially cleaned, and buried naked in a linen cloth, exactly like the one described here in the Gospel of Mark. Furthermore, the Garden of Gethsemane was situated on the side of Mount Olives. Toward the base of that mountain is a heavily populated cemetery with many of its graves going back to the time of Jesus. This man was preaching, and he was bringing out different prophecies from the Old Testament and with the New, and, you know, just... He showed a picture of the wall in Jerusalem that they always show, that western wall, eastern wall. And there was graves, Hebrew graves, towards, like, I guess they must have buried their bodies this way, and the graves were towards that wall. Now, this is just supposition now. The word does not say Jesus on and on and on. This is using my imagination, this man using his imagination. When Jesus said, "I am," the power that was released was so tremendous that it knocked the soldiers backwards. But evidently, it also caused a rumbling in the local cemetery. When tradition of that time, let's see. When the blast of power was released, a young boy draped in a linen burial cloth in accordance with the tradition of that time crawled out from his tomb, raised from the dead. Now, the word doesn't say that, but it definitely could have happened. He certainly raised Lazarus from the dead simply by saying his name, "I am," the power of his name. Now, the reason he followed, this young man followed Jesus, was to take a glimpse of the one who had resurrected him. The word "follow" here means to continually follow. This tells us that this resurrected young man trailed the soldiers as they took Jesus to the garden on the way to his trial. When the soldiers discovered the young man who was following Jesus, they tried to apprehend him, but when they reached out to grab him, he broke free from their grip and fled, leaving the linen cloth in their possession. There was so much power present that no one could have withstood Jesus had he chosen to resist. Jesus was not taken by the will of man. He was delivered by the will of the Father. And that's why he could boldly stand up there and tell him, "You don't take my life from me. I lay it down." I could have called legions, more than legions of angels. And when you think about, I guess that touched me so, because when we pray, something happens. I mean, Daniel prayed. 21 days later, the angel came with the answer. And he said, "Daniel, God answered your prayer 21 days ago, but I was up there fighting that evil one up there." Doesn't say that. That's my paraphrase. When we're praying, those warrior angels are up there battling in the spirit realm. And they're going to continue to battle for God's children. When we're covered in the blood of Jesus, we do walk in grace and mercy. And when Jesus looks at me and when he looks at you, he sees me through the eyes of mercy. He sees me beautiful. Whereas there was one time I was nothing beautiful about me. But he looked way down there when I was in that old muck, miry clay. And he saw beauty. He saw his mercy towards me. He saw me through his heart. And that's why when you and I go, I was telling the inmates last Sunday, I was just preaching the word, and sometimes I get pretty strong with that word because I don't want any of them to go to hell. I want them all to be saved. The word says that it's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come into everlasting life. And yes, those men have made mistakes. I don't know what all mistakes they made. Some of them are probably pretty bad. I don't need to know. But I was just talking about the Lord and preaching, and the Holy Spirit stopped me. And I asked those men, I said, how many of you, and I want you to be truthful, how many of you know that God has called you to preach the gospel? How many? And if you know that, stand up. And there was probably about 25 or 30 men in that place that they know that God has called them. And from them using their own will and going their own way. So I called them all up there, and we just laid hands on them and prayed for them. And then after the word was finished given, called them up there for any that wanted prayer. And I believe every man in that room came up for prayer. And their biggest need that wanted you to pray for them is that when they get out of there, they would have the strength to stand. To pray for their families, that some of them, their families are broken up because of where they're at and things that they've done. I just felt Jesus' heart to them and saw them through his eyes, and it breaks your heart. And I know that it breaks our Lord's heart to see his men in there that know they have a calling on their life and they're sitting there in prison. But I shared with them, you can come out of here. You can put your feet on the rock, Jesus Christ. You can get you in a church family that somebody's going to pray with you. Somebody's going to walk with you. Somebody's going to care for you. And you can get in that church and learn who you are. And you can be used of God out of this place instead of sitting here rotting away. And I hope and pray that they do that when they get out of there. Because in the guest unit, they're not in there very, very long. The Stahls unit, but the LeBlanc unit is even a lesser time that they spend. And then the Gist unit is a little more, they spend a little more time. So when y'all are praying in your prayers, I'd appreciate if y'all remember those prisoners. Because every one of them, they have a mom out there praying for them. They have grandmas out there praying for them. And they have us praying for them. And they need every bit of prayer. Because I know, you know, you tell them they have to change people, places, and things. You can't go back to where he pulled you out of. You can't go back to the old friends and the old ways, because you're not going to pull them up. They're going to pull you down. And so I want to share a scripture in Hebrews with you, if it's okay. And it may sound like I'm going all over the place. I was so excited to just share that about the angels with y'all, knowing that when I pray, the host of heaven is behind me. The host of heaven is behind you. And if one angel can slew 80-something thousand people, one angel, we have the whole host of heaven behind us in the name of Jesus. When I pray that name Jesus, when I use the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. When I continue to make certain that I'm walking in the love of the Lord, darkness has to flee. It cannot stand up to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it cannot stand up to love. Whenever somebody's done you wrong, you pray for them. Pray for those, the word says, that despitefully uses you. Pray for them. They wouldn't be acting the way they're acting to you or anybody else if they were walking, being right with God. In Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry or different times and in different manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged or cleansed our sin, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. Now this world as we know it, it's held up by the power of his word. This whole world that he created is held up by the power of our Lord's word. And so whenever you pray this word, the Bible says that the angels hasten to perform the word of the Lord. Some people, you know, when I'm praying, they might get tired of me always babbling the word. I know that when I pray the word tells us when any man speak as the oracles of God. What does that mean? I speak God's word. I speak God's mind on it. Not the devil's word, not the devil's mind, but God's mind. And he's the one that holds our world up. He's the one that was around. He walked in glory with our Father God before the world was even created. He walked in glory, and he was willing to come down from his glory and his splendor to be born of the virgin birth, laid in a manger, born in a manger. He was willing to go to that cross and pay that price for us. And not only us, though, but for every person in this town and in this world. And I know that the times, you can look at the times that we live in. It's right that Jesus could come back any second. He could come back any hour. He could come back tonight. I mean, all the prophecies have fulfilled for him to come back. But I know that he hasn't come back yet, because there's lost souls out there. There's lost souls out there. And we need to have compassion for those lost souls, because if their names are not written in this Lamb Books of Life, we know where they're going. And hell's going to be a horrible place. The main thing is that God isn't going to be there. And you take God out of this world, and it's going to be a horrible place. I tell you what, I want to believe that. I want to make sure that I'm living right and doing right. The word says, if any man sins, let him confess his sins. And if you confess your sins to me, I will be faithful and just to forgive you your sins and iniquities and remember them no more. And if we're not perfect, only Jesus was perfect. And we're going to fall sometime. We're going to say something we shouldn't ought to say sometime. I know I have. And I tell you what, I know that when I realize, you know, the Bible says that the heart is wicked. The heart's desperately evil. Who can know it? Only God. I've thought in the past that I knew everything that was in my heart. When I found that scripture, I thought, oh my goodness, I don't even know what's all in my heart. So, buddy, I started praying, oh God, purge. I mean, go dig down deep in those wells, and whatever's unclean in there, show me, Lord. I want to get rid of it, because I realize we don't know what's in our heart. Only God does. But if we'll follow him, if we'll be quick to repent and just stay in his presence. Before we're doing this Bible study, and it's all about being in the presence of the Lord, before she'd even mentioned that Bible study, because sometimes I get lazy. The word says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. And I tell you what, I like to bring, if I have a fault, I like to bring it to the light and get rid of it and not try to hide it, but just bring it to the light, let the Lord wash it in his blood, and it's gone. He says he doesn't even remember it anymore. So if there's anybody in this place, and I know there is, I know good and well, Vicky's been going through a horrible time. I mean, that devil will hit you and knock you down. The lady, Ruby, that I go to the prison with, she has not been able to come to the prison with us this year. From January on, she was in the hospital with that AFib, and from one thing after another, she kept getting put in the hospital. She'd be getting better, and I'll be if she didn't go fall. And that put her back. And just one thing after another. And if you miss so many times going to the prison, they can pull your badge that you can't go anymore. But God has given her favor with the chaplain at the GIST unit. And he phoned her. She mentioned to me, my mother has a wheelchair. She mentioned to me, you know, of us pushing her back there in the wheelchair. Because she knows her calling, and she cries when she can't go. She has been battling that all this year, that she has not been able to go, whether it was from her back or whatever. And I told her, she said, I just hate to give in to that. I said, Ruby, it's a start. We're going to get that wheelchair. Pastor Wood, Chaplain Wood said, it's okay. I don't think you even have to have an okay. She said, well, you do it stalls. He said, well, I'll find out for you. And I told her, I said, Ruby, you may not want to be in that. Well, it's a long, long way that we have to walk in the GIST unit. I'm talking a long way. And she just couldn't walk that far right now. So next time we go, God willing, we're going to have my mom's wheelchair, and we're going to push her in there, because she is so anointed in that ministry. That's the ministry that God gave her that no one else was interested in, and she went in there and plowed in there, and God gives her favor with those chaplains. Thank God. So if you're going through anything at all, God is big enough that he can take care of it, whether it's healing or financial or anything. It doesn't matter. If there's anything bugging you or bothering you, come up here and let me pray for you. Let us pray for you, because there is power in agreement prayer. When we agree as touching anything, it shall be done for us of our Father, which is in heaven. When we agree, that's why agreement prayer is so important. And there's another scripture. Jesus said, the Lord said, if you pray to me in secret, I will reward you openly. And I tell you what, you pray those secret prayers, you're talking to God. You're not talking to anybody else. And he stands up and he listens, and he sends forth those angels battling in that spirit realm for you. We have a Lord that cares. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So he knows everything I'm going through. He knows things that I'm weak in, and things that I need deliverance in or need healing in. He's right there, and he's got the power to do it. The devil is a liar. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I found a scripture that I love. The memory of the just is blessed. I have prayed that scripture over my mind. I still may call people wrong names sometime, but I tell you what, I know that I've got the mind of Christ. The word says I do. The word says I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The memory of the just is blessed.